Our gospel reading today is from Matthew 25. And I didn't pick this passage, by the way. It was the lectionary choice for this Sunday. We did steal this date that was going to be a harvest meal, but that's the only thing we did. And I didn't realize it was going to be this passage. So it's perfect, as it turns out, for our this particular Sunday. And for all of us here to grapple with this teaching of our Savior. Matthew 25 at verse 14. Our Lord's at the end of his ministry, and his earthly ministry, and so he's telling us how we are to live. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered wheat. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thus far, the reading from God's word, from our Lord's teaching. I invite you to turn back into scriptures to Matthew 25. If you want to have your Bibles open, you have an outline in your bulletin. You'll see where the sermon's going in that way. And if you feel ambitious, you can fill in the blanks. And we'll have prayer at this time. Lord God, we give you praise today for the words of Jesus, words of promise, words that are challenging, words that give our life meaning. And sometimes, Lord, in the frustrations of life, philosophers have come up with the idea that life is meaningless. But Lord, this passage of scripture, this word from you teaches something else. We pray that you would impress upon our hearts today, that your spirit would move and change us in our thinking and recalibrate our thoughts, that we would live for you and live faithfully for our Savior Jesus. And Lord, we ask now that the preaching would be faithful and that the end result would be that you would be our rock and you would be our Redeemer. Amen. All our lives we're taught that we need to save. We need to not spend everything that we have. And in recent years, it's been a question of where do you put your money? In fact, when I was a kid, I believe our savings account paid like 4%. And now, you know, that's up again a little bit in terms of where you can get a good percentage rate. But for quite a few years there, you couldn't get much interest. The stock prices weren't very good many years. And where would you put your money? Well, some people bought land and cattle, other things that trying to make a good investment. For me, I don't have a house or land or cattle or anything like that for whatever I would have put in the market. And of course, you look at your returns and sometimes it'd be very painful to see money you lost instead of gained, or some years would be pretty good to see the gains that were made. If you knew the future, what a great investor you could be. I think if I knew the future back, say in 97, when the Amazon stock went public, and you know, later, when it went to a point where it looked like the stock was almost worthless. And now today, if you knew the future and if you had invested like $1,000 back at the start, your stock would be worth something like $1.9 million. Well, if I had known that, I would have really capitalized on it. If you had known something like that, you would have acted accordingly. Well, God doesn't do that. He doesn't tell us, you know, what the stock market price is going to be in the future. We're decision makers. We're made in His image. He tells us some things about the future, though. And today's parable is about exactly that. He's talking about investing. And so here's the person going on a journey, and we learn in other passages that he's a king, and he gives certain amounts of money to people to invest. The talent is a weight of money, actually. So the newest NIV translations, when they translate this, you know, what are we talking about here? Well, it would be a lot of money. It would be like getting the newest NIV translation uses a bag of gold. Now, if you had a bag of gold, what would that be worth? That'd be worth a lot. And one investor gets 5 bags of gold. Another investor gets 2 bags of gold, and a third one gets 1 bag. So let's make, just for our way of working with it today, let's make a talent $100,000. And so one person gets $500,000, one person gets $200,000, and a third person gets $100,000. They don't all get the same. They get the amount that the person with the property allots to them. And so God has given us different gifts, is the idea. It's a picture of the spiritual gifts He has given us. And so we have to make use of them. That's the point of the parable. Whatever He's given us, maybe we don't have the same gifts as somebody else. We probably don't. But whatever gifts that God has given us, we have to use for Him. So in terms of the stock market, knowing the future, the Bible says, forget about that. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. In other words, God has revealed to us what we need. We need to follow that. And what we learn here is that when you stand before God, and someday you will, it will be either a day of great rejoicing or the beginning of a great sorrow. Each one of us has been entrusted as a steward with at least one talent from God. And here's the thought. He's gone away, going on a journey, all right? Jesus ascended to heaven, and we're to serve him on this earth throughout our lives. We don't get to 40 and retire from work in the church because, you know, it's not as exciting as it once was, or we've moved on with something else. We're to serve him throughout our lives. And so that's a question. Is that what we're doing? Is your life consumed with God's kingdom, or is your life consumed with your kingdom? He's given us his resources only for a time. These last few years, my wife and I have had to clean out some houses of relatives and friends who gone to nursing homes or have departed this life. You know what happens to people's belongings? Yeah, you do. Things that they used to use and treasure. They don't take them with them. I think of Psalm 50, verses 9 and 10, where God is talking about his sufficiency and what he needs from us. And he tells us, I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pen. In other words, in sacrifice. He needs obedience, right? He doesn't need animals. And he goes on to say, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I think most of us probably don't care if God owns a deer. They're running around all over the place. But he says, those cattle, you know, that you own out there, they're my cattle. You know, we often talk about, you know, you don't see a U-Haul getting pulled by a hearse, right? Well, you don't see a cattle trailer getting pulled by a hearse either. And God, in other words, God is saying, all these things you have, they're actually mine. And you're using them. You're a steward of the resources I've given you. You're only a temporary investor, and someday you're going to give an account. Now, there are some pastors that have tried to demonstrate this passage. They've handed out during the service maybe $1,000. And they had people come and take certain amounts of money and go back and invest it in various ways and then come back after 2 or 3 months and give a report. My predecessor in this church actually did this in Nebraska. This was actually done in my home church. Where they gave out $2,500 in sealed envelopes, and there were people invested, brought back some months later. And the overall return was about double, interestingly enough. But the point of that, well, actually, let me say it this way. That exercise that they did really misses the point. Because it's more than money. It's more than money. But money is an example of it. It's an example of it. It's more than money. What about Mary and Joseph? They didn't have any money. And yet, look at the investment they made. J.C. Ryle, the Anglican bishop who died in 1900, he wrote, talents are anything whereby we may glorify God. If you could use that to glorify God, that's a talent. And so he listed them at one point in his commentary. He said, talents are our gifts, our influence. Think about your influence as a parent or a grandparent or in your community. That's a gift. Use it for God. Our money, our knowledge, our health. If you can do things and other people can't, our memory. Or excuse me, our strength, our time, our senses, our reason, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our privileges as members of Christ's church, our advantages as possessors of the Bible. Some people have not even opened the Bible, and you've been taught hours upon hours of Bible teaching. That's a talent to be used for God's glory. Ryle says, all are talents. And where do these things come? Whose hand has bestowed them? Why are we what we are? Why are we not the worms that crawl on the earth? There's only one answer to those questions. All that we have is a loan from God. We are God's stewards. We are God's debtors. Let this thought sink deeply into our hearts. I think that's really a good insight. So we look at these stewards here who were given a various bestowment here, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. They weren't the same. They were bestowed, as it was said here, each according to his ability. And so the investors are to get to work, and they didn't have quarterly reports. They couldn't look up on the internet. The king was away a long time, probably years, and then he comes back and says, well, how did it work out? What happened to my investment? And the stewards give their report, as someday you're going to do. And so we find the investor who was given 5 talents. When he gave his report, he put his money to work and he gained 5 more. And the one who had received 2 talents did the same. And when they gave the report, the man who received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And so we have people that do exactly what the king asked them to do, required them to do. And we see the motivation for serving here is our salvation through the cross of Christ. As that one song we sang today, you know, how can I say thanks for the things you, Lord, have done for me? Things so undeserved. And we see this properly as our response to God's salvation. Salvation through the cross of Christ. That's our motivation. I'm doing this out of gratitude to God. This is how I'm living my life. Now, when you make investments, there's a cost and a risk. There's a cost and a risk that you must undertake by faith. We'll get to the explicit part of this as we find it in verse 25, where the person who does nothing expresses his fear. You know, when you invest in something, you could lose. And so that does happen. You know, here's what Paul tells Timothy to do as he has people in his congregation that are wealthy. He says, I want you to command the rich. Command them. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Should be enjoying life as much as you can. There are people that are so into acquiring wealth, they don't even enjoy their life. God wants you to enjoy life. Command them, Paul goes on to say, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Is that how people would describe you, that you're generous? In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. See, Paul is talking about investing. You know, they're laying up treasure for the coming age, the next age. Well, you know, going away from the idea of money now, I think about the Proverbs 31 woman, the Proverbs 31 wife. And, well, you know, she is busy with doing all sorts of things. She's sewing, she's working the garden, she's caring for her children, she's being encouraging to her husband. She's doing everything that God wants a wife to do, and she celebrated in Proverbs 31 with this acrostic poem. And she too is is making use of the talents God has given her. And in the end, the master's money in our parables is doubled. All right, when the final accounting takes place, there's a doubling. But it may not show up right at the moment. Just like when you look at the reports and sometimes things go backwards. I think about the early 1980s when VHS just came out. And ahead of that, I know this is going to be hard to believe for people that are real young here. But ahead of that, you couldn't tape a TV program. And I remember the first movie I watched it was actually in 1984, and it was on Beta. Okay? That's the first time I remember seeing a movie that was taped in that manner that we could watch on our own televisions at our will. And so VHS came out right after that. And R.C. Sproul made a video series on the holiness of God that we were asked to promote, and the whole church was really excited about. And so we promoted it for a certain Wednesday night, and we invited people to our house, and it actually, I thought, publicized it very well in our church. And our oldest son was just old enough at that point to help his mother make cookies for the event. And he was told that after we were done talking, he could serve the cookies. And so he was busy that afternoon with his mom. And as it turned out, only 3 people attended. And I can still name the 3 people. You know, I have to admit, the initial response was disappointing. And young Matthew came out with a plate of cookies. And he served the 3 people. And as he served the last person, you know, kids are so honest. And he looked at me and he said out loud, he said, "Dad, it was all for nothing." And the people that were there, like, oh man, you know. I think about that quite often, actually, when I run into that kind of response, or it seems that way. And, you know, when you make investments, it's not always a straight line, is it? Always going up. The chart's not always going up. Sometimes there are setbacks. And I will tell you that we didn't give up. We tried a different venue. We tried a different way of doing it. And we had some success that way. And that's what you need to do in the church. You need to go forward. Whenever you're discouraged, think of that verse as at the top of the bulletin today from Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15 at the end. He said, "Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that's a verse I have memorized and encouraged myself with as a pastor. And I hope you do too as a church member, if there's ever discouragement that you face. Because what we desire to hear at the end of our life is when Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." That's what we want. To realize, to totally believe, and to put into practice the thought that the Lord will give his faithful servants greater blessing and even greater responsibilities. And you know, that's true in this life. I think of a church that's been faithful in its benevolent giving to missions, to the work of the church and the mission of the whole kingdom of God as the church seeks to affect a society, that a church like that that his faithfulness giving, the Lord might just be pleased to give that church even more money to invest in his kingdom work. We need to be faithful, and the Lord may grant even more blessing as he gives greater responsibilities. Now, there's a warning in this parable. We see the response of the man who had received the one talent. And you might have thought, well, you know, he only got one. He should have really been using it. But we see, in fact, a wicked response. The wicked, lazy servant will be punished by God. He had evil motives. That life was all about self. If you ever fall into that, it's a bad thing. If you think that your life is all about pleasing yourself, you've got it all wrong, as far as the Bible's concerned. Then the man who had received the one talent came, in verse 24. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money in the deposit with the bankers. So that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Look at what this lazy servant did. And thinking that, you know, his life was all about himself, and it wasn't about this idea of investing for his king. What do you do with his talent? Well, in verse 18, we see his response. The one who had the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. In verse 25, he reports this very thing, and he says the reason he did it, he said, I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. That's where people would hide stuff in the ancient world because of, you know, who would know where someone was something was buried, right? And so he could get it back, but he dug a hole in the ground to safely hide this valuable talent. And so he made no use of the master's money. It was just lying there hidden. Why did he do that? Well, his view of God was a problem. His view of God. As he said in verse 24, Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. Is that what you farmers did when you harvested your crop this year? You harvest fields that you didn't plant? No, but this is his view of God. He thought God was a hard, he's expressed the thought that God was hard, a hard man. Is that your view of God, that God's not gracious? The Bible talks about his grace all the time, that God's good. Do you think God's not good? You think God is not a God who blesses when all through the scriptures and his people also have this testimony that God is a God who blesses? You think God's hard? It's going to take you in a bad direction. He thought the master harvested where he had not sown. In other words, life doesn't make sense. And he accused God, sort of the blame God approach to life's problems, and he attempted to justify himself. Well, this is why I did it. And notice what he said. He was afraid. He was afraid to use the talent. That really puts the spotlight on the issue. His failure to serve the master results in his punishment. And the first part of it is that his one talent is taken away. You can't look at this like you're in public school in the classroom. That's the wrong way. Don't be sympathetic to this individual. You have to think like an investor. What would you do if you had money in an account that that person who was in charge of did nothing? Well, you'd say, what's the point? I'm going to take that money, and what are you going to do? You're going to put it in an account that seems to really be working hard. And so this is what the master did. And he said, here's the principle. He said, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? From an investor point of view. You're not going to leave that money sit in an account that the person's not doing anything with it. And so it is with our lives. We've been given talents. We've been given a blessing set to be used for serving God. Sometimes I'm thinking about all sorts of things in my head right now in closing. Like I said, talents could be anything. In my own life, I think there were some people that had a problem with me, but they liked my kids. Guess what? Those kids are my talents. All right? Use them for God's glory. Whatever God has given you can be a talent. Just think of what God has given you. And then here's the question. How are you going to use that for his glory? The lazy servant, what happened to him? Sadly, in verse 30, the punishment is, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, or there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he is going to be in that experience of grieving his sin, of wasted his opportunity to live for the Lord. And so the end of the story is that the faithful stewards are promoted while the wicked servant goes to hell. And if we don't love and serve Jesus as a result of our salvation, we're not going to be part of his kingdom. And so now you know the future, so you can continue investing. You know the future that Christ has revealed so that you can prepare for the next life. So don't bury your talents, but motivated by love for the Lord, go out and make some spiritual investments. And pray that God would open your eyes to the opportunity to serve him. Why are we here? Our catechism class knows this. We're here to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of Jesus, for the warning, and help us to hear that wonderful commendation at the end when our life here is over. We pray in our Savior's name, amen.